Here's the continuation of the 315 area calls from the West 73rd Street Crossbar 5 in Manhattan in summer 1977. Let's move on to the Potsdam sector. This is another Bell System Crossbar 5 tandem. Our first call is to Norwood, a tributary, which is a step. This particular call, and the only one I have, is to a vacant level in Norwood. As a result, after the dialing out is finished, you hear a ring that isn't coming from Norwood. It is instead coming from a centralized intercept concentrator, possibly in Potsdam.
What number are you dialing? May I have the number you're calling?
Since that's the only call I have, we may never know what Norwood's ring was really like, but maybe that's a good thing. The other Potsdam tributary I called was Messina. This is a step with two office codes, and it's big enough that Syracuse had direct trunks to the office. Therefore, when I called Messina, I didn't go through Potsdam, I just went directly. And this was often done. Even though this office is not in Syracuse's sector, they still put in a high-usage trunk group to take some of the load off of Potsdam. This trunk group was designed to be big enough to take a significant load off of the Potsdam tandem, but not so big that it would waste facilities. Therefore, during peak times, it would overflow to Potsdam, and had I called during a peak time, we might have heard this Messina call go through Potsdam, but in these cases, it didn't. Please forgive the wow, that is my tape recorder's problem.
What number did you dial, please?
769-2299.
Thank you. 2299. That's a wrong number for Messina. That's our test ring for the telephone company, so it would be a wrong number.
Oh, thank you.
One sound you may have noticed on this and other calls to intercept in steps is this. That's a trunk selecting device that is used in step and number one crossbar offices for intercept. I didn't point it out earlier because it's not a reliable indicator, you don't always hear it, but when the call starts out ringing and then gets to ring again, you do hear that sound in between the first two rings. And so anytime you do hear this, you're going to intercept on either a step or a number one crossbar. We called it the Skrit. Newark, New York is a crossbar 5 tandem. I only called one tributary, Clifton Springs. I got a reorder tone which was so generic it's hard to tell now what it is. It's definitely not original tones of a 355 step, though. Possibly it's an independent step or a Stromberg XY. Here's Westernville via the Rome Crossbar 5 tandem. This call goes to operator intercept with an unusual tone when the operator answers, as well as an unusual click when she disconnects. All it proves is that it wasn't standard centralized intercept. This may have been handled through the cord board in Rome.
Thank you. number did you dial?
827-6238.
Thank you. Sir, I'm sorry, that's a vacant line.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
The next few calls are to Osceola via Rome. This is definitely a Bell System Step CDO, but this one has the newer type tone plant. This particular type of ringing machine makes all of its tones by subdividing and multiplying the power line frequency, and for that reason, it's never off frequency, it's always right on. Now you can hear the timbre of that busy tone changing as other callers get it and listen to it for a while and hang up, and depending upon how many people are connected to it, the timbre changes. But the frequency is right on, and it's 60 Hz harmonics. Let's see, how can I show you just how exactly correct that frequency is? I know, here's a bulk eraser. Yes, this is a device that runs off the power line. It creates a magnetic field that's used to erase cassettes. And you just pull the trigger here. Now, it doesn't make a lot of noise when there's not a tape next to it. So let me just take this cassette here. And now... as you can see, the timbre changes as I move the cassette around, but the frequencies, again, are exact 60 Hz harmonics. Now let's compare the sound you just heard to the busy signal that's on the tape here. Oh dear. Well, using the bulk eraser in lieu of the recorded busy, which I don't seem to have now, here's more or less what the busy sounded like. Okay, well, that's it for this segment, and, oh, man, I think my humor's getting a little too dark, folks. That was really crossing the line. Let's get back to some family-friendly fare. Like, I don't know, hearing a turn-of-the-century cell phone and throwing up? Anyway, here are the rest of the calls to Osceola via the Rome Crossbar 5 Tandem. Now see, there's intercept going to the zero operator again, and apparently whatever tells her it's intercept didn't function that time. Let's try it again and see what we get.
Darling.
That time she knew. Usually when this happens, intercept and zero dial are on the same trunk, and the tone that is supposed to tell the operator fails, but here, she knew and there wasn't a tone, so perhaps intercept is on a separate trunk and the first time she just didn't notice what kind of trunk it was she answered. Now there's a double ring, and this particular tone plant, I never saw having anything more than double ring. The older one that we were hearing in the last segment, in some offices, had not only single and double ring, but had triple, quadruple, and even a long short ring pattern. Now high tone is always 500 hertz on the rotating tone plants that were used at this time, but on this one it's 540 hertz. Well, this thing doesn't rotate, it only makes its tones by subdividing and multiplying the power line frequency. And apparently they needed it to be an odd multiple of 60, because 540 is actually farther from the industry standard than 480 would have been. But apparently the way this works, 540 was better. And actually, the first time I ever heard high tone from this tone plant was in 2000, visiting the Seattle Telephone Museum. Because the steps that used this tone plant had no use for high tone. But at the Seattle Phone Museum, they used this tone plant for other types of switches, and the number 5 crossbar, when it goes to permanent signal, gives you...
If you would like to make a call, please hang up and try your call again.
And here's the way the ring sounds when you're right in the central office. Strom Carlson recorded that from the Seattle Phone Museum. It's pretty weird to be working with material that was never on tape to begin with, I must say. Anyway, that's it for the Rome sector. Our next sector is Pulaski. I made some calls to Sandy Creek and Adams Center, and everything from here on out is independently owned.
Sandy Creek, New York. I'm sorry, the number you have reached is not in service at this time. Please consult your directory or call directory assistance for the correct number. Recording at Adams Center, New York. I'm sorry, the number you have reached is either changed or is not in service at this time. Please consult your directory or call directory assistance for the correct number.
Those appear to be independent steps going through a step tandem in Pulaski. Next sector is Sealy. I called one tributary, Georgetown. Great ring. And that was, of course, a supervision test. Again, the tone you're hearing is from the Bronx crossbar tandem, which has a tone applier. Now here's the actual busy signal from that town. That definitely went through a step tandem. The office itself is a step, or perhaps a Stromberg XY, or even a CX-1000. The click that it made before the busy was a little unusual. But how do you like the impulse rate on that busy signal? Now, busy signals are normally 60 impulses per minute, IPM. Reorders are 120. That one is sort of a compromise between the two. And now I've gotten kind of curious as to just what the impulse rate is on that thing. Well, there's a really quick and easy way to measure it, and it's going to take longer to explain this than to just do it, and I apologize for that. But I just happen to have a collection of old-fashioned devices here. These are rotating devices. They are analog, of course. And each one produces regular timing impulses at a particular rate. Now, by synchronizing that busy signal to the timing impulses coming from these old-fashioned devices, I can quickly verify what the impulse rate on the busy signal is. Now, I have a device here that was made by some people in Athens, Georgia, Schneider and Company. This particular one has an impulse rate of 186 IPM, and I think that is approximately twice the impulse rate of the busy. So let's just start this thing up and sync it to the busy and see if I'm right. Now, this is very analog and a bit low-tech, but like so many other older technologies, it does have a certain charm to it. And, wait, let me turn off my air conditioner first. Man, this thing is noisy. There we go. Now let's use the timing device. Or so impulses per minute. Very unusual tempo. Now this particular disc also has another feature. By simply going to the right part of the disc, it can tell me how this presentation is going.
Down, down.
The next sector is Boonville. I have a call to two tribs here, Croghan 346 and Eagle Bay 357. Let's see how those sound.
This is a recording at Croghan, New York. I'm sorry the number you have reached is not in service at this time. Please consult your directory or call directory assistance for the correct number. This is a recording at Croghan, New York. I'm sorry the number you have reached is not in service at this time. Please consult your directory or call directory assistance for the correct number.
You can hear an obvious beating effect on the busy signal. It seems that two sources of modern low tone are hooked up together, and that beating low tone is being turned off and on by the interrupter. Croghan is a switch type that I can't identify from that one call. Boonville is a step tandem. Now here's a call to Eagle Bay. Don't know what caused that momentary supervision flash there. Here's a number in Eagle Bay which seems to have a different tone planned. It's still a double ring, but you may recognize this ring as being that of Mamie, North Carolina. Let's get the busy signal in Eagle Bay, too. Not only does that have an unusual impulse rate, but the interruption is rather irregular. I wouldn't want to try syncing that to a record. I can tell that Eagle Bay is a CX-1000. I've seen that particular way that it can sound before, including the double ring on all numbers that end in 8 and 9. The next toll center is Fulton. Here are two calls to one of its tributaries, Phoenix, and then a call to an office in Fulton itself. That was a milliwatt test tone, which went off hook, so I had to hang up on that one. So what sort of tandem is Fulton? It's a number one EAX, which is one of those transition switches, an analog switch with stored program control, in the same general category as the 1ESS, though certainly not as common. These were the switches of the 1980s. At the time, we thought they were the switches of the future. Wrong. The actual end offices we called were steps. The one in Fulton was, too. There are two other prefixes in Fulton. Perhaps if we'd called them all, one of them would have rung with a modern tone and would have been out of the same switch as the tandem. Now here's how these calls go through. My crossbar 5 sends 10D to Bronx, which sends 7D to Syracuse, sending 7D to Fulton, dialing 4 digits to the end office. That's a very unusual noise that Fulton makes while it's dialing out. It goes away as soon as it finishes, so we know it's not just a noisy trunk. So now we've gone through the entire 315 NPA. We've called a little bit into every sector except Canandaigua, sorry about that. In the process, we got a lot of crossbar 5 tandems, and you'll notice I didn't make up a silly word to describe the sound that they make when the tandem operation occurs. The reason for that is this. Tluk to tick. That's easy enough. But Herkimer is the only one that made a sound like that. The other ones really don't fit tlup to tick. For example, this one. I can't call that tlup to tick. I mean, that's more like... Right? And then you go to another tandem and it goes... So instead of making up a word, let's just play them one after another to get a general idea of the range of sounds it makes. Well, that's it for this segment. There are still two tandem types in the network that I haven't covered, SP1 and NX1. But first, let's hear some different dial tones. We've been making all of our long-distance calls from number 5 crossbar lines, and I feel like it's time for a change. So in the next segment, we mostly won't use number 5 crossbar lines to call out. We'll be calling from other switching types, but still long-distance. That's next.